We are thrilled that you joined us today. The message you're about to hear is filled with the life-changing power of God's Word. We would love for you to share with us how God has impacted your life through this message. Visit us at riverrochester.com or attend any of our services at the River Church in Brockport, New York. Thanks again for joining us, and we hope that you enjoy today's message.
To the Gospel of John. We're going to go to chapter 12, and we're just going to begin read this 32nd verse. Jesus speaking, he said, "And I, if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all peoples to myself." Jesus, we're about to read, is the light of the world. And when he was lifted up on the cross, he said because of that, he would be able to draw all peoples from all around the world to himself because he was going to be lifted up on that cross where he was to die for you and me, to shed his blood for the remission of our sins. And through that action, dying, was buried in the grave, and resurrected, he draws all people from all over the world to him. In the epistle, the first epistle of John, in chapter 1 and verse 5, it says this, "This is the message which we have from him and declare to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all." God is light, and in him is no darkness. And tonight I'm going to share with you about how God is the light, but how we also become partakers of that light as that light comes to dwell in us. And if you're here tonight and maybe you don't know that light or you don't have a relationship with the light, Jesus, you're going to have an opportunity tonight to pray with all of us to commit your life to Jesus and make that best decision of your life that you ever possibly could. Now turn with me back to the Gospel of Luke, and we're going to go to the second chapter. We're going to start in verse 6. I'm going to be reading from the Passion Translation, so if it sounds extra passionate, that's why. Starting in verse 6, "When they arrived in Bethlehem, Mary went into labor, and there she gave birth to her firstborn son. After wrapping the newborn baby in strips of cloth, they laid him in a feeding trough since there was no available space in any upper room in the village." Now, I kind of like the way that the Passion Translation says that, because somehow we've over-spiritualized the word manger. You know, when you think of the word manger, you almost think of like this glowing sensation coming out of this little wooden thing with hay in it, and it's all pretty. It was a feeding trough. It's where animals came to feed. And that's where Jesus was born. Humble beginnings, but he didn't stay in the feeding trough. Amen? He came on out of there. Verse 8, "That night in a field near Bethlehem, there were shepherds watching over their flocks. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared in radiant splendor before them, lighting up the field with the blazing glory of God, and the shepherds were terrified." Now, this verse is the verse that I wanted to key in on from this passage, and that's why I chose the Passion Translation, because they really give us a clear description of what it was like when the angel of God appeared to those shepherds. "Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared in radiant splendor before them, lighting up the field with blazing glory of God, and the shepherds were terrified." You see, when God shows up on the scene, he comes with bright light. He comes with light because he is light. When we come to Jesus, we get to receive of that light. And here we have the angel of the Lord coming to them, and they see this light. In verse 10, it goes on, "But the angel reassured them, saying, 'Don't be afraid, for I have come to bring good news, the most joyous news the world has ever heard. And it is for everyone, everywhere. For today in Bethlehem, a rescuer was born for you. He is the Lord Yahweh, the Messiah. You will recognize him by this miracle sign. You will find a baby wrapped in strips of cloth and lying in a feeding trough.' Then all at once, a vast number of glorious angels appeared, the very armies of heaven, and they all praised God, singing, 'Glory to God in the highest realms of heaven, for there is peace and good hope given to the sons of men.' What an awesome story. This is how our God chose to enter the world. He humbled himself. He came and took on the form of human flesh. But even when he did, the angels came to declare to men that we have this great light coming into the world. And when the angels came, the light was so bright, it scared them. It reminds me of Paul when he was on the road to Damascus. And he was on that road, and he wasn't a good man. He was a man that was persecuting the church. He was a sinner. Even though he was very religious, and he knew a lot of things about God and about rules and regulations, he didn't have the light of God on the inside of him. But that light came and shone all around him. It was so bright, and he fell on the ground, and he had an encounter with Jesus, with the light of the world. The angel, I like the way this says it, says, "Don't be afraid, for I have come to bring you good news, the most joyous news the world has ever heard, and it is for everyone everywhere." The good news of the gospel is for everyone, everywhere. No matter what country you come from, no matter where you were born, no matter what your heritage is, no matter what you look like, what you were raised in, what religion you were brought up in, none of that matters. We have a rescuer that was born, a savior, the Messiah, who came to rescue all of us from the price of sin, which is death. We do not have to pay that price because Jesus has paid it for us. We get to come to that light that came down to earth for us, and receive of that light. Speaking of this light, let's go to John's gospel in the first chapter. In John chapter 1, starting in verse 1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave them the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." We get to become children of the light. Jesus is the light of the world. And when we come to him and we receive that light, we get to become partakers of that light and have that light shining in us. Now, we already read in John chapter 12, in verse 32, that when Jesus, he said himself that when I am lifted up, I will draw all men, I will draw all peoples to myself. Well, how does he draw all men to him? He's the light. Now, man has been infatuated, we're in love with light. Let me ask you this. If all of you had the choice tonight to go spend the rest of the evening in complete darkness for your Christmas Eve party, or to spend it with, for example, like the lights that we have here tonight that are set up so wonderfully, what would you choose? Everyone, I believe, would choose light. The discovery of electricity was one of man's greatest discoveries of what God had put in the earth, and it gave us the ability to so readily access light. People, from the beginning of creation, have had this desire to have light. If you're in the summer, in the evening, and if you're like me, you enjoy a campfire has a way of drawing people to come just be around that light. I can spend hours just sitting around a campfire, just staring into the fire, not even really thinking about a whole lot. I just enjoyed being there, just watching that light. How many of you have seen the movie A Bug's Life? One of my favorite scenes in that movie. I don't remember the bug's name, but there was that bug zapper on the porch, and that bug, he saw that light, and it was so beautiful, he couldn't help himself. It's so beautiful. And then he just flies right into the light. Now, granted, that's not the best illustration to use when you're sharing the gospel, because unlike the penalty that bug had to pay, he got zapped and died and never was to breathe again. It's not exactly the best illustration for the sake of the gospel, but it shows that even a bug is attracted to the light. Now, Jesus, when he put himself on that cross and he was lifted up, he was talking about the way that he was going to die. It goes on to say this, that he was explaining to them that this is the way that I'm going to die. And when I do this, you'll be able to partake of the light that is in me. And he's lifted up as that light for all of us to see. And he shines all throughout the world. And because of that act that he did on the cross, and he put the light up there for everyone to see, we can all come and draw near to God. The Bible says that if we draw near to God, he draws near to us. And as we're attracted to that light comes right back to us. You know, things in the natural, in this world that we live in, often reflect things that are in the spiritual realm. And how many of you know that without light from the sun, everything that is living in this world would cease to exist? The sun were to extinguish tomorrow, I don't know how long we would have, but it wouldn't be long before we all died. Everything on earth lives and is able to live because of light. And as I said, the things of the natural world seem to be reflected in the spiritual world. And even though people can exist in this world without having the light of Christ on the inside of us, they aren't actually living until they partake of that light. Because when you accept Jesus Christ into your life, and you receive that light, that is when your spirit is born. You become, as Jesus described to Nicodemus in John chapter 3, that's when you become born again, and that's when that light is lit on the inside of you. Tonight, we're going to be lighting some candles, and I really look forward to that moment where we all get to light a candle and sing a song together. But when we receive Jesus, the light of our spirit is lit. The Bible calls our spirit the candle of the Lord. It's how we commune. It's how we fellowship with him, because we have this light on the inside of us. Jesus is that light. He said that he is the light of the world. In going back to John's Gospel, chapter 12, in the remainder of those verses, in verse 44, it says, "Then Jesus cried out and said, 'He who believes in me believes not in me, but in him who sent me. And he who sees me sees him who sent me. I have come as a light into the world, that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness. And if anyone hears the words and does not believe, I do not judge him, for I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world.'" I love this verse, this final verse in that passage, because so many people, they've gone to a church and they left and they felt judged. And they met someone who claimed to be a Christian and they say, that person was so judgmental. But Jesus doesn't come to judge. He came to save the world. He came to love the world. People, they're not perfect. And so sometimes they do judge, and sometimes even in the name of God, they judge people, and it turns people away from God. But if you would get to know Jesus, if you would get to have a relationship with him, you would find out that he's pure light, that he's pure love, and that he doesn't want to judge you, and that he doesn't want to, he wants to save you. He doesn't want to send anyone to hell. Did you know that the Bible says, that that hell was prepared for the devil and his angels, and that God doesn't want a single one of us to go there. People ask the question, well, if God is loving, how could he send people to hell? He doesn't want to send people to hell. Why do people go to hell? We're talking about light. What does the Bible say that the devil is? It says that he disguises himself as an angel of light. Because people were drawn to light. And if he can disguise himself as light, if he can disguise himself as good and pleasure and enjoyment, then he knows that he can deceive people into coming to him. And he's been doing that since the very beginning of creation when he deceived Adam and Eve. He disguises himself as light. The enemy is always perverting the things that God has created to be good into something bad. The devil, though, he can create up ways in order to bring pleasure. It always leaves people hurting and broken. But when you come to Jesus and you receive of the true light, you'll never be hurt and you'll never be broken. Amen? As long as you build your life on the foundation of that relationship with Jesus, you take action on the word, you become a doer of the word as Jesus so often talked about, and you apply the principles of God's word in your life, nothing can ever hurt you again. Because Jesus is the true light, the devil is the angel of light, as the Bible calls him, but he is a fallen angel, and he's trying to deceive people into committing sin. But when you give your life to Jesus, the Bible says that you become dead to sin. That old nature is no longer you. In the book of 1 Corinthians, the Bible says that you become a brand new creation, a brand new creature. Behold, all things have passed away. All things have become new, and you are a new creation. Tonight, if you're here in this place and you've never made a decision to make Jesus the Lord of your life, we're going to give you an opportunity in just a minute to make that decision. Because when you make that decision, that light that was lifted up for all men to see and to draw men to him, that light comes and dwells on the inside of you. And the true meaning of Christmas, to celebrate the birth of Christ, becomes so real to us. The joy of Christmas is being able to celebrate Jesus, who he is, and what he's done for us. We'll go home tonight or tomorrow morning, and you receive a gift. Maybe you receive a bunch of gifts. Maybe you receive a really nice gift, something really expensive or something really thoughtful. But how many of you have ever received such a wonderful gift, you were so excited about it, and a couple years later, you don't even use it anymore, you don't even think of it? You know, I mean, if you're a guy, maybe for you, it's that 60-inch flat screen TV, and you're just like, this is it. I have finally reached the pinnacle of life. And you got that. I mean, I don't keep up with it, but I guess 60 inches might even be considered small now. I don't know what's going on now, but you know, the TVs just keep getting bigger. But in 5 years from now, that 60-inch screen TV will be so outdated. The technology will be all old, and if you paid $2,000 for it, it'll be $300 or $200 in just a few years from now. Maybe, ladies, maybe it's an article of clothing, and you're just like, oh my gosh, I can't wait to wear this because that's going to make me look good. A few years down the road, maybe it has stains. Maybe it has holes in it. Maybe it's worn out. Maybe it's no longer fashionable. The gifts of this world will wear out, but I promise you the gift of salvation will never wear out, no matter how often I think about it. The day that I had an encounter with Jesus, that I fully committed my life to him, is so fresh in my mind. I can go right back to that place in that church that I grew up in. I can go right back to that day. I remember leaving that church, looking around and thinking everything is brighter, the sky is bluer, the grass is greener, the birds are chirping louder. I wish I was making this all up because it just sounds too fantastic, but it's real. When you come to Jesus and you partake of that light, he begins to shine through you, and he begins to show you what the world really is, the way that he intended it to be, the way that he created it. And no matter how old I get, I was 13 years old when that happened. Somehow I turned 30 years old this past September. But I can go right back to that place because that gift never gets old. The things that God does in your life, the things of the Spirit, they'll never grow old. They'll never wear out. I don't think back about it and think, yeah, that was the day I got saved. It was all right. But I mean, honest, like, it's just whatever. I mean, like, that's the way we'll talk about gifts in a few years from now that we receive tonight. But the gift of salvation, the gift of Jesus Christ, the gift of that light coming on the inside of you will be something that you'll cherish for the rest of your life.
Thanks for listening to this message from the River Church. We hope you stay connected with us online at riverrochester.com.